Guess who's back? Me, duh, still here. KM to AM on the fan, 2 hours to go. That's a big win. Like, you could literally hear in the update the roar of the crowd. Must be nice. Must be nice on a Friday night to pull up and see your team with a walk-off win against the rival Atlanta Braves. 888-808-1019. Mets fans are going to come in and talk about what they saw. I watched the game. I saw a hard-fought, gritty win. I see a team with TWTW, the will to win. I see a team that has a bunch of guys that will find a way. I see a team that has a theme song, and they look forward to going into the clubhouse and singing that theme song and partying. Like I said it last night, you know, I don't know if people were hearing me last night, but I'm like, these guys go to work. And when you think about how you go to work and you get home and you kick your shoes off and that feeling of accomplishment, you know, tomorrow's Friday, the work week will end when you finally can crack that beer open, when the job is done, when you finish the job and you get that moment of, ah, did it, done. I mean, the Mets are getting that a lot now. I mean, that's four nights in a row. The Yankees are not. The Yankees go out and they work and they don't get the job done and they're in the clubhouse pissed off. They're in the clubhouse mad. They're in the clubhouse searching and wondering. And I'm searching for answers like you're searching for answers. And that's what we're doing on the fan right now. We're still talking about what needs to change, what's going on. Don't blame the fans. But I know who you're going to blame. You're going to blame the manager and the general manager, and rightfully so. But they're the ones that have to change this thing. What would you have them do? Al is in Maho Pack. What's up, Al? You're on the fan.
Keith, it's Al. Yeah, thank you very much for taking my call. You're a gentleman, first of all, and a family man. And my friend and I listened to you on the way home from the games, and we understand that you are a gem to the fan and everybody else. If they miss that, it's a shame. But let me ask you a question. I asked the ticket agent when my friend had season tickets, and, you know, I said, when are they bringing back Kate Smith to sing the national anthem? Well, I don't really want to talk about that. Now, since she may have not sang the national anthem, how many World Series games have the Yankees won, first of all? They need karma. She made a mistake, and you can't do that in a Yankee Stadium today. No, no, no. The game book doesn't even have a eraser on the pencils because you can't make a mistake. Karma's what the Yankees needs. Players did not know what the Yankees had with Kate Smith. They should have somebody do a research and find out what Kate Smith did in her lifetime and explain that to all the Yankees who weren't even around. But by the way, the internet that they found stuff about her wasn't even invented at the time.
Yeah, you know the story, right? That's what we're like. It was just nonsense, dude. It was like retroactively going back to some racism and saying, I don't know.
And again, why don't they get her back? Let's try it. What else have they done? Nothing. They need karma. And they need to get the team to understand.
What did it do? I don't know.
What did she do?
I don't feel better about anything. Like,
what did Kate Smith do?
Supposedly she had some songs with some racism in it.
Okay. Yeah, you know who they are? They are the people that go into the deep dive and find everything they need. Curtis Lee on another station talks about Kate Smith because he knows. He was around when she was there singing. So was I. I'm 79 years old. Bring her back. Let's try that. But no, they're going to do what they keep doing. The definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. I hope you have a good time, whatever you're doing. Keith.
Thanks, Al. Sorry to cut you short, but I want to clear that up for people. So, you know, Kate Smith's rendition of God Bless America. If you can remember back to 2019, I remember because, like, I don't know. You've heard me say a bunch of times, like, the pandering, you know, being a young black man in America, it's just empty to me. Like, I talked about this. I tried to stay away from the, like, oh, now the Negro League's stats are included into Major League Baseball stats. And I'm like, I get it, but I don't get what it does. It doesn't help the players that were, you know, it's already come and gone. I don't know any black people that are, you know, talking to me about, like, I went down to Jacksonville, Florida, to pay respect to my grandfather who passed for the July 4th weekend. I'm surrounded by all of my black cousins, uncles, aunts, a deep family tree of like 100 people. Not one person said, hey, Keith, we're talking about sports. Nobody talked about baseball. And not one person said, hey, Keith, did you hear about the Negro League stats being? And it's just, you know, it's just like, even with the Kate Smith rendition of God Bless America, because it wasn't just the Yankees. I think the Phillies as well. There was like a song that she made called like Pickaninny something. So stupid. I got to look it up. But it's like, all right, we're going to retract that song now. And it's not going to play. And it's just like, yeah, here we go. In the 1933 film, Smith said that she was singing Pickaninny Heaven for a lot of little colored children who are listening at an orphanage in New York City. Oh, no. So now we got to take out Kate Smith's rendition of God Bless America from Yankee Stadium, from Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia, not to offend any black folks who literally don't care. And it's a small thing, but I'm addressing Al's call. Al's talking about karma, and Al's talking about higher powers and ghosts. And I remember saying that the ghost of Kate Smith is haunting Yankee Stadium. Like, hey, that's not right. That's, you guys misinterpreted retroactively almost 90 years later. And I remember being on a Yankees podcast. I got to go find that clip, laughing about it. Like, this is a joke, right? I understand, you know, the pulling down of statues, and I understand, like, oh, now Aunt Jemima's is like Buttersworth Company or something like that. But what does it do, yo? Who does it help? There are real ways that you could help people. There are real laws and real impactful things that could help folks. Instead, they like to do these little nonsense things, and it doesn't help anybody. 888-808-1019. Say, I'm looking for solutions. I'm looking for change. I'm looking for why. What has happened to the Yankees? What's going wrong? Al said, hey, it's because they don't have Kate Smith's rendition of God Bless America. Bring it back. What could it hurt? What could it hurt? I don't think it's going to help Gleyber Torres field the ball. I don't think it's going to help DJ LeMahieu from grounding into a double play. I don't think it's going to help Alex Verdugo get the ball past the defender's glove. But like, this is where the Yankee universe is right now. We are grasping at straws. Mateo is in Mahwah. Next up on the Fan. What's up, man?
Keith, Hugh Tran. Listen, I want to get straight to the point. I know the Little Brother Met fans are itching to come on the air and gloat after accomplishing essentially nothing beating this Yankee team. And listen, I'm disgusted, as we all are as Yankee fans. And I know you are, Keith, a real fan of the New York Yankees. In my opinion, probably the biggest and most real Yankee fan on the airwaves in 2024. And listen, we all know the Yankees need a major overhaul from the front office to the manager to the lineup, et cetera, et cetera. But I want to change it up a little bit here tonight. I'm gonna try and move as quickly as possible here. I don't want to talk about who Cashman's going to pick up at the deadline or who we're going to call up in the farm, but I want to talk about the atmosphere or lack thereof at Yankee Stadium these days. I mean, listen, we all know the ticket prices are out of whack, but the fans at the game are sitting down for the majority of the game, which in my opinion is unacceptable. No one is honestly going hard and cheering like you guys are over in the bleachers. And not to nitpick here, but the PA system, I know that sounds ridiculous, but back in the day, we had loud walk-up songs. We had the PA system going loud, chanting, "Oh, now batting, number two, Derek Jeter." Nowadays, you can't even hear that. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but we just got to get the atmosphere back up in the Bronx. Look at how the Mets just took over our stadium. It's embarrassing.
Mateo, did you go to either one of these games Tuesday or Wednesday? Did you go to one? I'm just asking if you were.
You know what, Keith?
And it's okay if you weren't, because I went. I can speak to it.
And I watched every.
I'm in lockstep with you. I was uncomfortable in there. I even tweeted out. I'm like, there was a part in the game, maybe in the sixth inning or fifth inning before Gerrit Cole was done, where he got to a full count, two strikes, two outs, and they didn't play the Star Wars sound, the two strikes whale, I call it. And I'm like, hey, did somebody miss the cue? Like we're not still trying to rally and fight through this game? And fans are sitting down. And like I said, I sat in 10 different sections. I'm always moving around the stadium. And every section I went to, I caught a Mets fan either telling a Yankee fan, shut up, sit down, like just like the attitude of Mets fans in Yankee Stadium. And you can't combat it. You know why? You know why the atmosphere is like that? You know why we're sitting down? You know why a Let's Go Yankees chant doesn't build up to the point where it's circling around the building? Because of the guys on the field. Okay, did you leave? I thought he was still on. I'm just speaking to it, and I'm not trying to check you guys that are not at the game. I know how hard it is to go to the game. I know how expensive it's $100 to get in and sit on the moon. Like I understand, but like I'm in that stadium. I've already been to 20 games. I think this is my last year going to 40 games, which always used to be my target. I'm just aging out of it. I'm getting old. I'm tired. I can't do that drive. I have responsibilities now. I have a child. But I know what that stadium's like when it's lit. I know what that stadium's like when there's belief. Going into the Dodger series, even though they took Juan Soto out of the lineup, oh, just a precaution, there was belief. We were turned up. We were trying to combat the Dodgers fans. But man, this team has taken the life out of the fans. That Red Series, I was at the first game, and we were feeling kind of good about ourselves. Then Ellie De La Cruz hits a triple, then a homer, and it's like, yo, what? They get swept by the Reds. Friday night in the boogie down Bronx, there's no better vibe at Yankee Stadium than a Friday night. Masataka Yoshida, Clay Holmes, no! What can you do? There's nothing you can do. We don't get to take at-bats. We don't get to make outs. We don't get to pitch. We try to will them to victory. We try to pick them up, but they can't even pick their heads up. They're feeling bad for themselves, not hustling to first. They're feeling bad for themselves. They hit the ball hard. It's caught. Oh, they got to break out of it, and I'm not sure how. Tony's in Franklin Square. Next up on the fan. What's up, Tony?
Hey, Keith. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I want to talk about the lineup.
Yes.
First of all, I don't understand why they – I understand why they took Volpe out of the leadoff spot, but I really think he should be the number one leadoff hitter.
It was that Toronto series.
Because he was slumping. Yeah, he was slumping a little. But you know what? I think he's the best option for a leadoff hitter.
But not for nothing, Tony. In this second half, he's been hitting being in the sixth spot, being lower in the lineup. So now – I mean, it's like, how many times you got to learn? Fool me once, fool me twice, fool me, can't fool me again. Like, just let the kid be lower in the lineup and go to this trade deadline. Go get Jonathan India to lead off.
You think that's the best way?
Go get a veteran. Go get somebody else. I just have watched. Volpe's got to be the captain on defense at shortstop and make all the plays He's got to carry that over to the other side and lead off in front of Soto and Judge. That's a ton of pressure for a 23-year-old kid who didn't even have that many at-bats in AAA. And now, last year it was just like, well, he's a shortstop. We're not sending him down. Like, that's different. That doesn't happen. Like, guys don't just get told, you're on, kid. Figure it out. Like, on the job.
I hear you. And then the other thing is, we need a fourth hitter after Judge to protect Judge. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, when Stanton left, unfortunately he got hurt. But you know what? Hopefully he's back sometime next week. Yeah. And hopefully
I don't
get
even
back
want it to
rolling.
Be him. I liked him as the fifth spot because we were putting a lefty behind Judge, whether it was Rizzo, then it was Verdugo for a little while, then it was Ben Rice, and now I'm just kind of like...
Yeah, there's nobody working there. You know, it's like, and then you put J.D. Davis in there.
They actually put J.D. Davis there like that was going to work.
It was a joke. And then, going down the list, why aren't they playing Cabrera more?
They never loved him. I say the same thing to everybody. They don't love him like
why
that.
But
the
still,
fans like him. The fans think he's got a flair, a spark, a clutch gene, but they don't like him to play him every day.
He's a contact hitter. He puts the ball in play.
He's young.
You know what I mean?
He's a utility guy. They rather put DJ there because DJ deserves it based off of what he did six, 7 years
ago. Contract and everything. Of course, they want to play LeMahieu, but he's not doing anything.
Yeah.
You got to play your best hitters, no? Right? I keep Wells in there. Wells is doing good.
Yeah, Torres, Trevino's going to come back.
Trevino's going to be back. I wish they could trade him. I thought we were rolling pretty good with Volpe up at, you know, he gets on base, he freaking steals bases and everything else.
So that's why I said. I just like Volpe lower in the lineup. I think that the bottom of the order, like we're getting to the bottom of the order, it's Trent Grisham. Like we need him in the, lower in the order. I think he's going to be better served down there, but they got to figure out a leadoff hitter and protection behind Judge for sure.
Yeah, and protection behind Judge. And then Clay Holmes. Well, you know, every time he comes in, I'm like, oh no. You know what I mean? And then what do you call it? We need somebody to help Clay Holmes out. We need somebody back there.
Yeah, Luke Weaver has been solid. Luke Weaver is a guy that I trust. Michael Tonkin had just a little blip on the radar, but I think that was just his, you know, his former Mets energy coming out against the Mets. He folded against them, but he's been good. Jake Cousins has been good. You can send Caleb Ferguson to the moon when one of these guys comes back, like Ian Hamilton or Scott Efros, or I don't know what Cody Poteet is going to be, but if they end up trading Nestor like some of these rumors, I'd like to see him get some starts again. He was serviceable for a handful of starts. They have options. Things are going to change. They're going to get guys at the deadline, and they're going to get healthy. And what I'm literally resting on, hoping on, leaning on is a Jason Dominguez coming back in the lineup. Put him forth.
So do I, yeah.
Put him forth.
And you know what was pretty funny? On Sunday, I think it was, when they were playing the Rays, Verdugo. You know, Verdugo, I always see him with these gigantic chains that, like, weighs him down. I said, that chain has got to be pulling his head down, off of the ball and everything else. Sunday, if you look back, he did not wear a chain. Okay? He did not wear that big, heavy chain.
And you know what?
He was hitting.
That's not good because that means he's in his head. He's not being himself. Thanks for the call, Tony. That right there, like, I was at the game Sunday, and there was a play early in the game where I was watching Verdugo, and the ball went his way, and he took a step in first, and I'm like, never again. What are you doing? Never again after the Orioles game. Don't you ever take a step in first, but whatever. You see what we're saying, folks? They've lost their aura. They've lost their swag. They don't have any confidence. They don't have any mojo. If you don't believe in yourself, you don't stand a chance. If you don't literally believe you're the man wearing all your chains. I just saw Marcus Stroman put out a tweet. I can't get no rest wearing every chain on my neck. That was earlier today. If Alex Verdugo, the guy that they had to tell early in the season, hey, this is the New York Yankees, we can't wear four chains. We can't wear two chains. It's one chain. Now this guy's not wearing a chain because he doesn't have his confidence. He doesn't have his swag. He doesn't feel like he deserves to wear a chain around his neck. Damn. Chris is in Bergen County. What's up, Coach? You're on the Fan.
What's up, Keith? Hey, I got a question about our captain, Judge. Why does he wear a powder blue sleeve, powder blue elbow guard, and a powder blue shin guard? I mean, it looks so out of color, out of uniform.
I'll tell you. And I actually, I was critical of Judge, and I said I wouldn't do it again. So when Judge was slumping, he debuted these Statue of Liberty teal green color accents. And right. I'm like, yo, you're slumping? Tone it down. Again, talking about guys wearing chains or whatever, but I'm like, you're slumping right now. Don't bring more attention to the fact that you're slumping. Just match the Yankee uniform. It's a Jordan Brand thing. He signed with Jordan Brand after his MVP season. Do you remember when he came out last year with the like pink bubblegum shoes and he wasn't doing too well? It's like, tone it down. But I see a lot of these guys with the thanks for the call, Chris. Coach, if you're out there, bro, hit me up. Different Chris from Bergen. I got to hit Coach. Early in the season, I made a comment about that, and I took it back. And I said, you will never hear me criticize Aaron Judge. I won't nitpick at things about, like, his teal color Statue of Liberty theme accents because he went off on a tear, and I was like, that doesn't matter. But, yeah, why does he wear it? He is a Jordan Brand athlete. They make those things for him. This is New York City. That is the Statue of Liberty colors. I've seen Stroman, Nestor Cortez with the Statue of Liberty color glove. I've seen Verdugo, maybe somebody else with the Statue of Liberty sliding mitt, even so much with the torch on it for Statue of Liberty. It's like a New York thing. But I guess they're toning that down. The Mets are the kings of New York. Damn. Keith McPherson on the Fan. 888-808-1019. We got to take another break, but I'm clearing these Yankee calls, making room for the Mets fans. OMG, LGM, the Mets are on a four-game winning streak, a walk-off win. If you showed up in Queens and you're in the car, call me now to tell me what that atmosphere was like compared to the morgue that Yankee Stadium was. 34,807 fans showing up in Citi Field. That's a little different than it was a couple months ago. What happened? We'll be right back. It's a party in Queens. A Thursday night walk-off party. The Mets beat the Braves. They got Kodai Senga, Tylor McGill. I mean, they're thinking they can potentially take three out of four, if not sweep the Braves. And I think after losing that one for Atlanta, you know, they've got all these different guys in there with the injuries they have. Whit Merrifield and Ramon Laureano. And I don't know what their belief level is, but I know the Mets' belief level is high. They found a way to win. Like I said, coming off of the energy and excitement of the Subway Series, that's a gritty win. And I don't want to hear anything else about the Mets' bullpen. They'll add. But right now, like, refresher information. Stop telling me that Pete Alonso sucks. I know he didn't do anything tonight, but they're not trading him because that would mess up the chemistry of the clubhouse and people in that clubhouse that love Pete that have been there, like a Brandon Nimmo, like a Jeff McNeil. Stop telling me Jeff McNeil sucks and you want to get rid of him. You'll trade him for Gleyber Torres. Jeff McNeil is having the best week ever. Balling out of control, flying high, the flying squirrel. Stay tuned for my Casamigos big shot of the night. Severino, all smiles. Francisco Lindor, all smiles. And Mets fans leaving Citi Field, smiling, laughing, enjoying the Mets. The misery of the Mets is gone. The reality of the Mets being a good baseball team that can contend and potentially put you in October this year is here. Lou is in Astoria. What's up, Lou? You're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Family good, right? Good.
Yeah, yeah. Great. You know, we're moving this weekend. You know, everything is progressing. Yeah, just 5 minutes up the street, but just to a better place, better situation.
Better place. Yeah, okay. Listen, a little bit of that takes time. Like I told you, one of these days, the best thing is, and I hope you do, when you get your own house, it's so different. You play your music loud. You don't bother anybody.
Yeah.
It's your home. So
couple
I hope
years.
That's the future for you.
2 years.
But you will get it because you know what? You are the really prospect that we needed on WFAN. But anyway, let me tell you something about that. I want you to, you've already done it before, but I want
I didn't come up through the farm system. They signed me as a free agent.
Oh, no. Well, you know what? But you don't have Cashman as a GM. You're on your own. Don't worry about it. You can make it. Listen, this is what I want you to do. Is Tony Page a Mets fan?
I think Tony Page would say he's a Mets fan, but I don't think he would really like say he follows the Mets like that. But I don't think he's a Yankee fan. I think he would leave.
But I'm trying to do it. You've done it before. You run into the station. How about Steve Sommer? He's definitely a Mets fan, right?
100%.
Okay. If the Mets continue to do this, even though we're a Yankee fan, we're very upset. I want you to bring one of them on. I don't want you to bring Roberts and Tony Lugi because you know what? They exaggerate too much. Well, these two guys deserve to we the fans to find out how they feel, what's going on if this continues with the Mets because this is impressive. I don't care what anybody says. We like to get baseball. We're from New York, and I want you to do so, okay?
Yeah, I had Steve on at 7:30, and I talked to Steve extensively in the last day or so, and you described this Mets run in ways that just made me laugh. He said sweeping the Yankees in Yankees Stadium was a visual orgasm. The way that Steve is talking about what the Mets, Mets are.
That's like, it. I hope you didn't do that in the early show because you don't want kids to listen to that. But that's absolutely the way it is. I like. Yeah, anyway, going to the Yankees, the karma stuff that people are talking about has nothing to do with the singing and all that situation. You need. Situation where we have to change the leadership, and we already know that the GM. I mean, he is doing such a horrible job. Okay, I mean, look what he did to Judge. Okay, and that's what he's trying to do to the other kids. And and Spencer Jones and Jason Dominguez. Try to slow them down so the ownership saves some money, and then maybe when they're 27 years old, they're going to ask for a huge contract if they become leadership. Look what he did to Bernie. Bernie, let me tell you something. Keith, you don't know this. I follow the Yankees so well. In the 90s, the best player that we had, nobody mentioned it because I don't know, or he can't play the guitar, was Bernie Williams. Okay? If you look it up, he was the best Yankee player in the 90s. And one year, he won a championship, batting title, and the Gold Glove, which nobody has ever done.
Mm-hmm.
But no, he never get mentioned. You never get mentioned.
I mention Bernie as much as I can, and I think a lot of us know.
I'm not talking about you. I'm not talking about you, but you know what?
You're talking about the current
Yankees?
I mean, I
love Derek Jeter.
I don't know. They have Bernie back a lot. I was there one night. Bernie was on the screen. They showed his championship ring. He plays the guitar, does the national anthem. Bernie gets his respect. Bernie is quiet as
kept, too.
Yeah, but
you know what? You almost went. Listen, because of our GM, we almost lost him. He almost went to Boston.
I know. I know the whole story. I've talked to Bernie about it.
Yeah, the owner had to stop him from going to Boston because our GM has excluded.
And he didn't want to move his family to Boston.
To
they were already set up here
he
in New York.
He has to go. We're never going to see a championship with this man in charge. Take care.
Thanks for the call, Lou. I don't know. With the break from the Yankees, and it sucks to feel this way. I feel good not having to watch a Yankee game. The All-Star break was refreshing. In the beginning of the season, we were thirsty for Yankees baseball. Oh, what do we do on a Monday with no Yankees baseball? Now it's like, bro, I need it. I need a break. I need a break from the strikeouts, the K's, giving up homers, folding. These guys looking like they're out of it, like they're zapped. And I don't know what to tell y'all, man, besides these are three things I'm leaning on. Jason Dominguez coming back. That might solve some things. Jason Dominguez, bat him clean up behind Judge. Stanton fifth, Volpe sixth, you know? Or if you want to do the lefty, put Verdugo there, drop Volpe even more. Trade deadline's coming. Get another bat, get a couple arms. Send somebody away. Shake up the clubhouse by sending somebody away. Trade somebody that is in this clubhouse right now where you're talking about, oh, there's rumors Jazz Chisholm's personality is not going to. I don't give a damn about that. Stop that. We act like this is a sacred clubhouse. They're the worst team in baseball. They have one of the worst records over this stretch. That clubhouse needs a change and a fix. So shake it up. Get rid of somebody that you think is, you know, that people think is safe so that they know, yo, we're not playing around. Right, all this talk about what George would do, you don't need George to trade somebody's ass. You don't need George to bench somebody, cut somebody, make somebody have a sense of urgency that, hey, it's not promised that you're going to just roll out there in pinstripes. We got a lot of people dependent on us. Business is better for a lot of people when the Yankees win. So I'm banking on health, Scott Efros, Cody Poteet, Ian Hamilton, Nick Birdie. Like, there are guys coming back, literally, pitchers coming back. The bullpen will shape up. They will add to the bullpen. Add a bat. Jose Trevino will come back to help out Austin Wells. You won't have to see Carlos Narvaez. Trade deadline. Health, trade deadline, and the fact that the Orioles suck. So it's like, the Orioles are not as mighty. I remember early in the season saying, yes, the Orioles are better than the Yankees. They are banged up. They keep getting hurt. They can't get out of their own way. They have not created any space on the New York Yankees through this stretch where the New York Yankees went from going 49-21 to 11-23. 888-808-1019. Brad is in Portland on the Fan in New York.
Yo, what up, Brad? Keith, hey, great show tonight. I love it. You're dialed in, my man. I'm enjoying being on hold for 30 minutes, and I don't know what that last guy was talking about, but Bernie was the greatest. The Bernie was the greatest Yankee of the 90s. I've never heard anybody say that before. I've never heard that before.
I think retroactively, folks just try to give Bernie his props because he's not in the core four. They're not putting him with Jeter, but Bernie gets his love and his respect. I had Bernie on earlier this week, and I don't know. Nobody missed that watching the Yankees. We all know what Bernie was.
Look, Bernie was great, but he wasn't the GOAT, especially not in the 90s. You got some other names up there that are Mount Rushmore-type names,
Mariano's
and Bernie's not
the
up
GOAT.
There. But
Jeter, I
Mariano's
guess, too.
The GOAT.
Andy Pettit, Posada, the core four. It should be the core five, but whatever. We're talking about these guys. We're talking about Judge and Soto. Do not waste a year with two MVP candidates.
Look, here, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you're talking about shaking up the locker room. It's time to get rid of Judge. He's 33 years old. Get him now.
Yeah. That's a good one. I don't even have the patience for it. Mike is on for you if you want to talk, bro. As soon as I heard he get rid of Judge, my hand went right to drop the call. I didn't even flinch. I'm like, all right. Yeah, you don't get to troll and even land that plane. That plane barely got off the ground. It's time to get rid of Judge. Judge is the problem. Judge is the captain. It pains me to hear. Like, I'll go to break and it's like I don't know how the drop goes. It's something like, oh, Judge needs to get in somebody's face. What the hell is that going to do? I said it the other night. Judge is 6'7". He's got to get down on one knee to get down in Volpe and Glaber and DJ's face. Like, that's not his approach. Not everybody is like, you guys don't remember Judge checking Stroman? That's not good enough? Judge is pissed off. Judge is just peering out into the dugout. Like, damn, I'm in my prime playing for the New York Yankees. I decided to come back here. We got Juan Soto. We don't have much else. When does it end? I think it could end soon. I think that health and this trade deadline is our last leg, and we only have a couple more weeks here to keep hearkening back to the fact that, hey, Keith, they're 60-44. They've got one of the best records in baseball. They have one of the best records in baseball, but it's twofold. They have one of the worst records in baseball in the last month. They're only two games out of first place. Yeah, because the Baltimore Orioles are banged up and they can't figure it out. But you think they're not going to add? I just saw something come across my desk about Jameson Taillon and how, yeah, the Yankees, the Orioles, and somebody else are interested in, like, everybody that the Yankees are interested in, the Orioles are interested in, and they have far better prospects to give up. So I think they're going to win. And I think people are more inclined to help the Orioles than the Yankees because they were bums for so long. That's why you see a Corbin Burns go there. And everybody was saying, oh, yeah, give up Spencer Jones for Corbin Burns. That didn't get done. Now it's like, give up Spencer Jones, please. Ralph in Middlesex on the Fan. What's up, Ralph?
Hey, Keith. Love your show, man.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for calling.
So glad you dropped that last call. I won't even dignify that with an answer.
Like, what are we doing, bro? Like, I'm talking about serious answers tonight. We're talking about how to change the lineup, who's coming back, who to trade for. I don't have time for the Aaron Judge is too old. It's time to get rid of Aaron Judge. All right, good one. Good one.
Funny.
Hardy, har, har.
Exactly. Well, a few points I want to make. One, I try and be a realist. I'm very blessed and fortunate, 61-year-old Yankee fan. Like a marriage, I've been with them in the worst times and the best times. I'm lucky. I'm blessed to have seen them win a lot.
Yeah.
I realize that Hal is not George. But after this embarrassment against the Mets and the way they've been playing as a whole lately,
yeah,
for Hal, everybody's been calling out the manager and Cashman. Where's Hal? He's like silent. He's like a mute. You hear
there.
Nothing. I want to hear a vote of confidence from my owner. Again, I know he's not George, but say something. You know what I mean? Just anything. That was a total embarrassment, what was on the field last night. And as far as Boone goes, again, I try and be a realist. You know, he can't play nine positions. It's not all his fault. I get it. He's a decent manager. But there's three or four games this year I remember specifically you can directly attribute to his poor management. And you know what? If the Yankees don't make the playoffs by three or four games, as far as I'm concerned, it's on his head and he should go. And the last point I want to, well, it's really a question. I was enthralled last night watching the first two episodes of the Pete Rose documentary, and I'm really curious to know if you've seen it and what your opinion is on Pete Rose getting back into baseball.
I haven't gotten to that yet, but like I always joke about how I don't watch movies, and that's something I'm definitely going to watch. I'm still trying to watch Receiver. I just caught up on Hard Knocks yesterday. The Pete Rose doc is on what platform?
It's on HBO.
HBO Max? Okay, I just put a note in my notes.
It's on both. If you have HBO or you got Max, you can get it on both.
I'll say this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Pete Rose, I don't think he's ever getting back in. It's just too far gone. And the further we get away and the older he gets, there's just they don't see anything. They're not going to gain anything with, giving Pete Rose his spot. But we all have FanDuel. We all have these gambling apps. Everybody bets on baseball. And I'm just waiting for the next Ohtani case that isn't Ohtani. There was a bunch of players that we'd never heard of that just got reprimanded, suspended, guys kicked out of baseball because they got caught gambling. Ohtani gambled on baseball. You can't tell me anything different. But, oh, don't say that, Keith. There was an FBI investigation. Pete Rose came out and said, oh, well, I should have had an interpreter. If I would have had an interpreter to take the fall, I would have got away with it.
Yeah, I get it. I just think that it's been, again, I'm a Yankee fan. I was not a Reds fan, but I seen Pete Rose play. Man, this guy
incredible.
It was, man, a ball energy. And again, not the greatest talent in the world, but, he's the hit king. Can't take that away from him. And he gave 100% on every play. Some of these young players today, especially the Gleyber Torreses of the world, should watch a highlight reel of Pete Rose.
Sure. Good call, Ralph. Thanks for that call. 888-808-1019. I'm going to try and go back. I'll go backwards. Pete Rose, yeah, the way he played, if you watch him hit and you just watch how he competed, and, man, some of that old stuff, he popped up in the Nolan Ryan doc. I definitely got to watch this. What's it called? Hustle? This Pete Rose doc, is it called Hustle? Let me see. I definitely put in a note to watch that. This is the type of stuff that I actually will sit down and watch and not fall asleep. But yeah, Pete Rose is just too far gone. Charlie Hustle and the matter of Pete Rose is too far gone in my opinion. But I would love to see that because that was way before my time. It's funny, I was in the stadium last night. I was in the suite. And they flashed a stat about Francisco Alvarez and how many home runs he has before age 23. And then they flashed the number for Johnny Bench. And it was like triple the amount. And we got a laugh about, like, yo, how ridiculous was Johnny Bench? None of us had ever seen him. We just heard about it. But, like, how actually good was Johnny Bench? And I'm like, I got to go back and watch more of the, like, Big Red Machine and the rally. This is so much, before I was even thinking about watching baseball and being in. You don't know what you don't know. But you can, if you find the time, it's fun to research. And I want to get a break from watching the Yankees suck. I might have to go back and watch the, Big Red Machine and the Reds. And anyway, what you said about Boone, like, you guys realize, right, Boone, like, if they don't win the World Series this year, if they don't make the ALCS this year, most likely Boone is gone. And earlier in this year, I felt like Boone was managing this team and, coaching this team for his career, for his next contract. And now I just feel like he is a shield for the team. He's the one that has to take the brunt of it in the media. He's the one that has to get ridiculed, criticized for the lineups and what he says after the games. And he's never going to throw guys under the bus. And I don't think he has the power to veto a Jamai Jones DH leadoff and a J.D. Davis playing. He's just, that's part of the job. That's what you got paid for. I saw people trying to say, oh, well, this was a play out of Joe Torre's. Like, bro, what are we talking about? From 2002, this was a play out of Joe Torre's. Like, are you, like, I was younger then. I was, a freshman in high school. Bro, I wasn't as locked in back then, but it was a complete different time. We're talking about what Joe Torre did to send a message to George Steinbrenner and a younger Brian Cashman. That has nothing to do with the Yankees right now and how they operate and Aaron Boone filling out the lineup card. He's not sending no message to Cashman. They're in lockstep. They already had the meeting. It already got cleared. And for all we know, it was a computer that made that lineup. Oh, lefty matchup. They're going against Quintana. Beep, boop, beep, boop, beep. Jamai Jones, DHing, leading off. What? What else, computer? We know it's Juan Soto and Aaron Judge batting 2 and 3. Beep, boop, beep, boop, beep. J.D. Davis cleaning up. Okay, computer. No, like, that just is, like, dumb. I don't know. I just don't understand. I told you guys, I was driving to the game, and I had that lineup in my mind. I got 20 minutes away from my apartment, and I said, it's not worth it. I'm not going. I turned around. I never started to take the trek to Yankee Stadium and turned around. I'm just like, I'm not beat for it. I'm going home. I'll watch it. I'll watch it at home. They tried to pull a fast one.
Beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop, beep.
Yo, you still got my drop. Yeah, because for years, I've been talking about the Yankees analytics department and these computers because I can't come up with any other rhyme or reason why anyone with eyes that has watched the New York Yankees would say, yep, you know what we're going to do today? On the fifth game out of the All-Star break, we're going to rest all these guys in favor of playing the bench. Jamai Jones leading off. J.D. Davis batting cleanup. Carlos Narvaez, go ahead. What'd he bat, eighth or something? Like, it just was a self-sabotage. So going back to, you know, Hal Steinbrenner, you guys always want to say Hal isn't there. Hal is at the game, bro. I know exactly where Hal be at the game. He's just not trying to be on camera. He's not his dad. He's not sitting behind the dugout like, hey, you guys better shape it up. But I'll say this. You know, I've had conversations with some people in the Yankee brass. I know for a fact being embarrassed by the Mets like that, they're not taking that lightly. 888-808-1019. That's not something that they're just like, oh, yeah, well, you know, whatever. The Mets are good. No, that one stung. That one hurt. And good. You should be hurt. I'm hoping that you're hurt. I'm hoping you feel disrespected. I'm hoping that you're like, yo, go get everybody at the deadline. And get Dominguez here ASAP. Activate Stanton. All that. Let's break it down. We're getting close to the 11 o'clock hour, and now we've got calls rolling in. When we come back in this hour, it's open mic time. And so that's where I'm going to throw some NFL stuff out there. NFL is fast approaching, and you know, my take about practice, we're talking about practice, not the game. We're talking about too many clips from practice. We'll talk about all these clips from practice across the NFL where I'm like, I get it. The NFL is coming, but we do not have to jump to conclusions about a couple practice plays. These guys are just in helmets. And my Casamigos big shot of the night coming up. Stay tuned. Call the fan. 1 hour to go. KM to AM returns right after this.
Match, you can get it on both.
I'll say this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Pete Rose, I don't think he's ever getting back in. It's just too far gone. And the further we get away and the older he gets, they don't see anything. They're not going to gain anything with, giving Pete Rose his spot. But we all have FanDuel. We all have these gambling apps. Everybody bets on baseball. And I'm just waiting for the next Ohtani case that isn't Ohtani. There was a bunch of players that we never heard of that just got reprimanded, suspended, guys kicked out of baseball because they got caught gambling. Ohtani gambled on baseball. You can't tell me anything different. But, oh, don't say that, Keith. There was an FBI investigation. Pete Rose came out and said, oh, well, I should have had an interpreter. If I would have had an interpreter to take the fall, I would have got away with it.
Yeah, I get it. I just think that it's been, you know, again, I'm a Yankee fan. I was not a Reds fan, but I've seen Pete Rose play. Man, this guy
incredible.
It was, man, a ball energy. And again, not the greatest talent in the world, but, you know, he's the hit king. Can't take that away from him. And he gave 100% on every play. I some of these young players today, especially the Gleyber Torreses of the world, should watch a highlight reel of Pete Rose.
Sure. Good call, Ralph. Thanks for that call. 888-808-1019. I'm going to try and go back. I'll go backwards. You know, Pete Rose, yeah, the way he played, if you watch him hit and you just watch how he competed, and, man, some of that old stuff, he popped up in the Nolan Ryan doc. I definitely got to watch this. What's it called? Hustle? This Pete Rose doc? Is it called Hustle? Let me see. I definitely put in a note to watch that. This is the type of stuff that I actually will sit down and watch and not fall asleep. But yeah, Pete Rose is just too far gone. Charlie Hustle and the matter of Pete Rose is too far gone in my opinion. But I would love to see that because that was way before my time. It's funny, I was in the stadium last night. I was in the suite. And they flashed a stat about Francisco Alvarez and how many home runs he has before age 23. And then they flashed the number for Johnny Bench. And it was like triple the amount. And we got a laugh about, like, yo, how ridiculous was Johnny Bench? None of us had ever seen him. We just heard about it. But, like, how actually good was Johnny Bench? And I'm like, I got to go back and watch more of the, like, Big Red Machine and the ride. This is so much, you know, before I was even thinking about watching baseball and being in. You don't know what you don't know. But you can, you know, if you find the time, it's fun to research. And I want to get a break from watching the Yankees suck. I might have to go back and watch the, you know, Big Red Machine and the Reds. And anyway, what you said about Boone, like, you guys realize, right, Boone, like, if they don't win the World Series this year, if they don't make the ALCS this year, most likely Boone is gone. And early in this year, I felt like Boone was managing this team and, you know, coaching this team for his career, for his next contract. And now I just feel like he is a shield for the team. He's the one that has to take the brunt of it in the media. He's the one that has to get ridiculed, criticized for the lineups and what he says after the games. And he's never going to throw guys under the bus. And I don't think he has the power to veto a Jamai Jones DH leadoff and a J.D. Davis playing. He's just, you know, that's part of the job. That's what you got paid for. I saw people trying to say, oh, well, this was a play out of Joe Torre's. Like, bro, what are we talking about? From 2002, you know, this was a play out of Joe Torre's. Like, are you, like, I was younger then. I was, I think, a freshman in high school. Bro, I wasn't as locked in back then, but it was a complete different time. We're talking about what Joe Torre did to send a message to George Steinbrenner and a younger Brian Cashman. That has nothing to do with the Yankees right now and how they operate and Aaron Boone filling out the lineup card. He's not sending no message to Cashman. They're in lockstep. They already had the meeting. It already got cleared. And for all we know, it was a computer that made that lineup. Oh, lefty matchup. They're going against Quintana. Beep, boop, beep, boop, beep. Jamai Jones, DHing, leading off. What? What else, computer? We know it's Juan Soto and Aaron Judge batting 2-3, beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, J.D. Davis cleaning up. Okay, computer. No, like, that just is, like, dumb. I don't know. I just don't understand. I told you guys, I was driving to the game, and I had that lineup in my mind. I got 20 minutes away from my apartment, and I said, it's not worth it. I'm not going. I turned around. I never started to take the trek to Yankee Stadium and turned around. I'm just like, I'm not beat for it. I'm going home. I'll watch it. I watch it at home. They try to pull a fast one.
Beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop, beep.
Yo, you still got my drop. Yeah, because for years I've been talking about the Yankees analytics department and these computers because I can't come up with any other rhyme or reason why anyone with eyes that has watched the New York Yankees would say, yep, you know what we're going to do today? On the fifth game out of the All-Star break, we're going to rest all these guys in favor of playing the bench. Jamai Jones leading off. J.D. Davis batting cleanup. Carlos Narvaez, go ahead. What'd he bat, eighth or something? Like, it just was a self-sabotage. So going back to, you know, Hal Steinbrenner, you guys always want to say Hal isn't there. Hal is at the game, bro. I know exactly where Hal be at the game. He's just not trying to be on camera. He's not his dad. He's not sitting behind the dugout like, hey, you guys better shape it up. But I'll say this. You know, I've had conversations with some people in the Yankee brass. I know for a fact. Being embarrassed by the Mets like that, they're not taking that lightly. 888-808-1019. That's not something that they're just like, oh, yeah, well, you know, whatever. The Mets are good. No, that one stung. That one hurt. And good. You should be hurt. I'm hoping that you're hurt. I'm hoping you feel disrespected. I'm hoping that you're like, yo, go get everybody at the deadline. And get Dominguez here ASAP. Activate Stanton. All that. Let's break it down. We're getting close to the 11 o'clock hour, and now we've got calls rolling in. When we come back in this hour, it's open mic time. And so that's where I'm going to throw some NFL stuff out there. NFL is fast approaching. And, you know, my take about practice. We're talking about practice, not the game. We're talking about too many clips from practice. We'll talk about all these clips from practice across the NFL where I'm like, I get it. The NFL is coming, but we do not have to jump to conclusions about a couple practice plays. These guys are just in helmets. And my Casamigos big shot of the night coming up. Stay tuned. Call the Fan. 1 hour to go. KM to AM returns right after this.